seat, I'm going to invite up here. It's going to be John and Cecilia Neese. They're going to light the candles for us on the Advent wreath.
As we gather for this most exciting night, Christmas Eve, we are reminded of the four candles which have been lit leading up to this special time. First, we lit the candle of hope and the confident expectation of our Savior coming to save us. Second, we lit the candle of peace as a reminder of Jesus coming as the Prince of Peace and the angels proclaiming, "We bring you good tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people, peace on earth, goodwill toward men." The third, we lit the candle of joy. Joy to the world, the Lord has come. We are to be a joyful people and family as we experience God's forgiveness and grace. Just this morning, the fourth candle, the candle of love, was lit right here. God's unspeakable gift of love has come to those who believe. It was a love first experienced in Bethlehem and now shared around the world. Tonight, we light the Christ candle. It represents the hope, peace, joy, and love of God having come to us in Jesus Christ on that wondrous night. Over 10,000 times in history, a baby has become a king, but only once has a king become a baby. Thanks be unto God for this miracle of miracles. Jesus Christ is born. May he be born in each of our hearts as well.
Would you pray with me, please? God, we want to thank you for letting us come together this evening to celebrate the birth of your Son. That's what Christmas is all about. Lord, we gather tonight with joy and excitement, but I know we also gather with our burdens, our heavy hearts. And it is my hope and my prayer to you that you will speak to us in any situation, any emotion, any spiritual place we are, and somehow bring us a little closer to you. So bless our time as we worship you and thank you. We pray these things together in Jesus' name. Amen. A little boy and girl were singing their favorite Christmas carol in church the Sunday before Christmas, and the boy concluded with "Silent Night" with the words, "Sleep in heavenly beans." And his sister was quick to correct him, stating, "It's not beans, it's peas." A teacher was reading the story of Jesus' birth to her daycare children one morning, and as usual, she stopped to see if they understood. And she asked the question, "What gift did the Magi bring to Jesus?" And the five-year-old answered, "Gold, Frankensteins, and Smurfs." There's a great deal of internet research and revisionist thinking going on about the wise men in the Christmas story. Some have suggested that things would be considered differently if the three wise men had actually instead been three wise women. If it had been wise women instead of the wise men, they would have asked for directions. They would have arrived on time, helped deliver the baby, cleaned the stable, made a casserole, and brought practical gifts from Babies R Us, including diapers, wipes, bibs, and formula. It would have been a different time. How many of y'all have a watch on right now? If you don't have a watch on, how many of you have a watch in your pocket on your smartphone? Most of us do. We use watches, we use clocks to tell time all the time. I want to talk tonight along the theme of what time is Christmas. What time is Christmas? If you received a bulletin inside, you'll find an outline. I encourage you to follow along this evening to find out what time Christmas is. And there's a verse we're going to start with in Ecclesiastes chapter 3, verse 1. It says this, "Everything that happens in this world happens at the time God chooses." The Bible says that God specifically chose the time when Jesus Christ would come to the earth. It wasn't an accident. In Galatians chapter 4, verses 4 and 5, the Apostle Paul writes this, "When the right time came, the time God decided on, he sent his son, born of a woman, so that he could adopt us as his very own children." God waited until just the right time to send his son, Jesus Christ. So what time is Christmas? The answer is found in the four statements the angel gave to the shepherds at the very first Christmas. Number one, Christmas is a time to release my fears. In Luke 2:10, look what it says there. An angel appeared to the shepherds. They were terrified. But the angel said, "Do not be afraid." The first thing the angel says is this: don't be afraid. Release your anxiety. Let go of your fear. In the Bible, there are 365 fear nots, one for every day of the year. God is saying, get the message. There's no need to be afraid. It's interesting that almost all the time God talks to somebody in the Bible, the first thing he says is, don't be afraid. Fear not. Why? Because people are afraid of a lot of things in life. And sometimes some people are even afraid of God. If you're taking or talking in the conversations and you bring up God, notice how tense people get. When I just first moved to Charleston, I got my boys invited or associated with and active at the rec center so they can play ball and all that. And finally, I worked my way up to coach, and I was around the circle of coaches here, and they were all talking, and they were talking this and that, and then some, you know, jokes came up that guys say in the locker room kind of thing, and there I was, and they didn't know me. And they said, "Well, hey, Kevin, tell us a little bit about yourself." I said, "Hey, well, I'm the new pastor at this church," and they all went, "Ah." All of a sudden, they had a little fear. I don't know why, but they did. They got nervous. They got uptight when we mentioned God. But I want to tell you, folks, there's no need to fear God. You don't have to be afraid of God. Why are we afraid? Sometimes we're afraid of what the future holds. We don't know what it is. Christmas comes at the end of one year and at the beginning of the next year. You don't know what the future holds. We fear the unknown. But God says at Christmas time, don't be afraid. A part of life is just exchanging one set of problems for another set of problems, and we fear those problems. We fear they might get the best of us. And God says, don't be afraid. It's time to release your fears. In John 8, verse 12, the Bible says this. Jesus is talking, and he said, "I am the light of the world. So if you follow me, you won't be stumbling through darkness." I hope this Christmas, as you look to Jesus to be your light, that you will release your fears to God. Secondly, Christmas is a time to renew my faith. We live in a day and time wherein the symbols of Christmas have become quite confused. This is evidenced in a large Japanese department store where there is a displayed large Santa Claus holding the baby Jesus, standing in a sleigh being pulled by seven dwarfs. The reality of Christmas is not Rudolph or Santa or Frosty or Scrooge. The reality of Christmas is Jesus Christ. In Luke 2:10, it says again, "I bring you the most joyful noise ever announced, and it is for everyone." It's for everyone. Look at that phrase, joyful noise. That phrase literally means good news, fantastic news. Christmas is good news. The most important truth of Christianity is that the good news that Christians bring to us, Christmas brings to us, is in the form of a baby who grew up to be a man. It's the best news ever in the world, and people want to hear good news. You'd have to lock the doors of this church and keep people away from hearing good news. People want it. And good news keeps getting better and better because the bad news keeps getting worse and worse. Would you agree? You want some good news at Christmas? It comes in the form of Jesus Christ. What is the good news? A teacher was reading the story of Jesus' birth to her daycare children one morning, and as usual, she stopped to see if they understood. Lo and behold, they did. If children can understand the good news of Jesus, the good news of Christmas, surely we can understand it as well. What is the good news? A couple of things. First of all, the good news is that you matter to God. You matter to God. God knows everything about you, the good, the bad, the ugly, and He still loves you unconditionally. You matter to Him. He cares about you. He knows everything about every one of us, and He loves us. There are people, I guarantee you, there are people in this church tonight who don't feel loved by God, who in their mind feel like God could never love me. And I'm telling you, He could. He does. I know that because when I was at my worst, He loved me. If He can love me, I know He loves you. The good news is you matter to God. Secondly, the good news is you're not an accident. I don't care what the circumstances of your birth were, you weren't made by accident. God has a plan and He has a purpose for your life. Meaning and satisfaction come when I discover God's purpose for my life and I get God right in the center of my life and fulfill His purpose for my life. You're not an accident. When you do what God wants you to do, when you find your niche with God, you realize what the good news is. And a third part of understanding what the good news is that God wants you to know Him. God wants you to know Him. A little boy cried out to his daddy, "Daddy, Daddy, I'm afraid of the dark. Come in here and be with me." Dad said, "Well, just grab your teddy bear." And the little boy said, "No, Dad, I want someone with skin on." When we think of God sometimes way out there in the unknown, in the unseen, we think, man, I'd love for you to be someone for me who has skin on. Well, guess what? Jesus came with skin on. He was God. And He's there for you and for me. When I look at God, I want to see something with skin on so I can know what God is like. Jesus came to earth so we can know what God is like. Jesus brings good news. God wants you to know Him. He wants you to be personal in your relationship with Him. God didn't send an angel to us. He came Himself to us. God didn't come to you in the form of a religion. He came to you in the form of a relationship. Christmas is God saying, "I want to relate to you. I want you to know me as much as I know you." Folks, that's good news. That's joyous news. In John 10:10, Jesus put it this way. He said, "I have come that you might have life and have it to its fullest." Can you imagine that? Some people don't want to become Christians because they think, well, you know, you don't have any fun. No, I don't want to be that. They don't even know what fun is until you become a Christian, until you get your life related to God through Jesus, because then He sets you free to enjoy the life He's given you. Christmas time is a time to release your fear. It's a time to renew your faith. And number three, Christmas is a time to receive God's forgiveness. Notice the third thing that the angel said here in Luke 2:11. "Today in the town of David, a Savior has been born for you. He is Christ the Lord." Why do we need a Savior? Bible says that heaven is a perfect place. There's no sin in heaven, no suffering, no pain in heaven, no sorrow in heaven. It's a perfect place. And the Bible says only perfect people can get into that perfect place, because if we went there and we weren't perfect, we're going to make heaven imperfect, and that's not how it works. On our own, we can't get there without sin. So God created a plan, and he comes to the earth in the form of Jesus, who was perfect. And he says, you know what, folks? I'll die on the cross for you. It's a way for me to receive the punishment you deserve. I'll take it upon myself. That's what Jesus did when he died on the cross. And Jesus tells us now, you can get to heaven on my ticket, not on our own. Because none of us is perfect. We can't make it without Jesus. You may be a good person. The Bible doesn't say good people go to heaven. It says perfect people go to heaven. None of us measure up. So we all got a big problem. Here's a perfect place. None of us are perfect. So God created a plan, and he comes to you in the form of Jesus. God on earth, we celebrate his birth at Christmas time. He says, you can get to heaven through me. How do I let Christ save me? How do I let Christ make that difference in my life? How do I let him take control of me? It's real simple. You just admit you need a Savior. You just admit it. I know a lot of people say, oh, I'm okay. I don't need anyone else. Yeah, how's that working out for you? And your friends and your other family members, your coworkers. How's that really working out trying to do life all on your own? We can't even do life down here right. Many times it could be someone else's fault. Most of the time it's our fault, or at least some part of our fault. How are we going to get there? We're not perfect. We need to admit to God, I need someone else to save me. I need a Savior. Jesus was born as a baby to become the Savior of the world. Anyone here ever been a lifeguard? I know we have a couple have been lifeguards. Maybe some others of you have been lifeguards as well. One thing every lifeguard knows is that you can't save anybody who's trying to save themselves. If you've ever watched the lifeguard at the beach, when somebody's drowning, they'll swim out to them and then they'll just tread water for a little while. Because the swimmer is flailing and the lifeguard knows if they go in there and try and rescue them, then he'll just take them both down. So they wait just a minute until that person who's drowning just gives up. And then the lifeguard can rescue that person. As long as they're trying to save themselves, they can't. They won't. But when they say, I can't do it, someone comes to their rescue. Folks, you can't save yourself until you stop trying to save yourself. You can't have Christ as your Savior until you quit trying to get into heaven on your own effort. You just relax and finally say, God, I don't deserve to be forgiven. God, I cast myself on your mercy. Jesus, I receive you as my Savior. And God says, that's what I've been waiting for. That's what I've been wanting you to say. That's what I've been wanting to hear from you. And I'll gladly forgive you. I'll gladly save you. I'll gladly make you my child. It's all because of grace. The name of this church is Grace Point, because it's a point at which you can come and you're going to receive grace. We know that because we've received grace. And if you don't have a church home, I encourage you to come on back. We meet here every Sunday and you're invited, and you'll always be treated with grace. The problem with some folks is that we simply don't realize how desperately we need a Savior. The fact is, we'll never earn it on our own. We'll never deserve it. It's a gift. It's good news. In John chapter 3, verses 16 and 17, Jesus said this, some of the best known verses in the entire Bible. Jesus said, for God loved the world so much that he gave his only Son, so that anyone, that includes you, anyone who believes in him will not perish, but have eternal life. God didn't send his Son into the world to condemn it, but to save it. Jesus didn't come to condemn you, but to save you. Jesus came to resolve your guilt. Jesus didn't come to condemn you, but to change you. He didn't come to scare you. He came to save you. Now, each one of us have came here this evening for different reasons. Maybe you just wanted to come to church. Maybe you're a Christian and you love to come to church on Christmas Eve and worship together. Maybe a family member invited you or a friend invited you, or maybe you just might have felt a little guilty feeding you to church on Christmas Eve. I don't know why you came. I'm just glad that you did come. You came here because God wanted you to hear good news. You came here to be reminded while Jesus came in the form of a baby, he grew up, and as a man, he decided to live his life for you and for me. You came here because Jesus died on the cross for you, and if you simply receive him, commit your life to him, he will make your life worthwhile. God brought you here for a purpose. He brought you here to say to you, don't waste this Christmas. It's time. It's time for you to make that commitment to him. It's time to release your fears. Let go and let God handle the problem that's been worrying you. And just say, God, I'm going to let go. I'm going to give it to you. It's time to renew your faith. The good news is that God says, I love you. I made you. You matter to me. I want you to know me. It's good news. You matter to me. It's time to renew your faith. It's time for you to come back to God. So many times we think, I'm so far away from God, I could never come back. I've walked away from God day after day, month after month, year after year. I've walked, I know I shouldn't have, but I've walked so far away from God, I could never come back. And so we're afraid to even try. Let me tell you, I don't care how many steps you've ever taken away from God, it only takes one step to get back. Because as soon as you take that first step, he's there for you. And he'll pick you up and he'll forgive you and he'll love you. All you have to do is turn back. That, my friends, is good news. Because I don't know about you. If you're saved, I'm saved. I still mess up. I still sin. I still get pretty selfish sometimes. And I'm like, God, don't you know I'm the preacher? I'm the pastor? And I'm still messing up. He said, I know. I know. And a lot of other people know too, Kevin. And you still mess up. The good news is, unto us a Savior is born. If God hadn't thought you needed a Savior, he certainly wouldn't have sent one. You need it. I need it. It's time to admit it. It's time to follow through with it. I need you, Jesus, as my Savior. I don't stand one hope in a jillion to make it to heaven on my own effort, Jesus, I need you. Ultimately, Christmas is a time for you to meet Jesus. How crazy to celebrate Christmas without even knowing the one we celebrate. It seems illogical. It doesn't make sense. In the Old Testament, in the book of Hosea, one of the prophets, in Hosea chapter 10, verse 12, it says this, it is time for you to turn to me, your Lord, and I will come and pour out blessings upon you. It's time for you to turn to God. God worked hard to show you his love. He wants you to understand it. He wants you to embrace it. He labored to demonstrate his love for you. When Jesus came to this earth, his birth was a labor of love. What a better way to celebrate Christmas than to realize the purpose and reason for it is found in Jesus Christ and finally saying, God, I give my life to you. And if you've already done that, maybe you need to say, God, I need to come back to you. I heard the story about a grandfather who found his grandson jumping up and down in his playpen. Did you ever see that? Did you ever have a child or a grandchild that just is, and they're just full of energy and they're going up and down? He saw his grandson jumping up in the playpen and was crying at the top of his lungs. And when little Johnny saw his grandfather, he reached his chubby little hands up and said, "Out, Grandpa, out." And it tugged on his heartstrings. It was only natural for the grandfather to reach down to lift him out of his predicament. But as he did, the mother of the child stepped in and said, "No, Johnny, you are being punished. You must stay in." The grandfather was at a loss of what to do. The child's tears just rolled down his chubby little cheeks. And he put his hands up one more time. "As for Daddy to take me out. Granddad, take me out." But the mother's firmness in correcting her son must not be taken lightly, but love found a way. The grandfather could not take the grandson out of the playpen, so he climbed in. That's what Jesus did when he came to this world. We couldn't take ourselves out of our sinfulness alone apart from God, so God climbed in to human existence through his son. This is what Christmas means. Jesus came to show us the way to God. What time is Christmas? It's time to acknowledge that truth. It's time to receive the greatest Christmas gift you could ever have. God's love, God's forgiveness, his purpose and meaning in life, eternity in heaven with God. That's what it's all about. Hope you already have all your Christmas presents purchased for your wife, your husband, your mom, your dad, your kids, your sisters, your brothers, your best friends. I hope you've already gotten them their presents. And if not, in case you want to know, Walmart closes in about 45 minutes. I checked it out. Not that I need to go buy my wife anything at this late hour, but maybe you do. We think about giving others Christmas presents, and that's right and that's good, but let me ask you a question. What are you going to give Jesus? After all, it is his birthday. What are you going to give Jesus? And I know some of you are thinking, "Well, Pastor, come on, he's Jesus. He has everything." No, he doesn't. Not if he doesn't have you. Not if he doesn't have your heart. Not if he doesn't have your life. And he's still waiting for you to come. The greatest Christmas present you can ever give God is to give him yourself. It's my hope and my prayer that you'll do that. If you're a believer, it's my hope and my prayer that you'll renew your faith and commitment to God. I hope you'll be ready to do that today. Maybe, just maybe, you know what time it is. And now it's time to act on that. Folks, if you really understand the meaning of Christmas, but don't act on it, if you don't ask Jesus into your life, it'd be like receiving a Christmas present and never opening it. You know the good news. Now it's time to open it. It's time to act on it. It's time for you to let Jesus come into your life and receive the greatest Christmas present you could ever receive. It is my hope and my prayer that you not only embrace the substance of Christmas, but the Savior of Christmas as well. Would you pray with me, please? God, we want to thank you for sending your Son for us. The very reason for our being here tonight is to worship him and to thank you, God, for sending us your Son so we could be forgiven once and for all. And when we're forgiven, God, we know that we can go to heaven because what Jesus did for us on the cross by dying for us in our place so our sins could be forgiven. God, this is good news. And what time is it tonight, God? It's time to act on that good news. Father, I ask that for all of us here, as you speak to us in some way, somehow, help us to make that commitment. That first time commitment to Jesus, maybe a renewal of our commitment this Christmas so we can celebrate what Christmas is all about. The Father, bless our response time. May it be meaningful for you and good for us. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.
All right, let's pray. Father, thank you for the greatest gift of all. A lot of gifts will be exchanged tomorrow, but the greatest gift is your son, salvation through that baby. Lord, we thank you for the excitement we feel here in this room. May that joy go with us, not just today and tomorrow, but throughout this year and throughout our lives. We love you and thank you for that great gift. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Merry Christmas. Yes. One, two.